So the last time we were together, we had Satan bound in that bottomless pit. Well, we come to now a time where we see things have changed. And it's verse 7 of chapter 20 of Revelation. And so look at Revelation 27 through 9 right now. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea, and they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city, but fire came down from heaven and consumed them. So, point number one here is the great revolt. When Satan is released, he'll put together one final massive army to try to go up against Jesus Christ, who is headquartered in that beloved city of Jerusalem. Gog and Magog refer to people who are not right with God, and perhaps the majority of them will come from an area we know as Russia. However, we cannot just limit this to this part of the world, because verse 8 says that they will round them up from the four corners of the earth. So Satan will eventually actually lead these rebels to surround Jerusalem, and when they do, fire will come down from heaven and destroy them. And then we see that Satan will be removed and will burn forever. Look at verse 10. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So, sad. Satan started out as the greatest angel created by God, but he is a big problem, and that was with pride. And when we think this through, we conclude that his pride will be the reason he ends up being thrown to the lake of fire to burn forever and ever. That is the biggest problem that any of us have, is the idea of pride and leaning on our own understanding. So as we continue, we come to the great throne. You see, John actually sees the great white throne judgment, in which all unbelievers face Jesus Christ before they are thrown into the eternal lake of fire. And this must have been one of the most awful things to see. It's interesting that John does not react or seem to react emotionally to it. And when this is the case, that when we see people cast into everlasting fire, we may have a sense of the justice of this. We will certainly have a full awareness of all Jesus Christ did and the rejection and mockery these people had. So look at verse 11 with me. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. So this actual word order in the Greek is throne, great white. The noun throne speaks of a place of kingly power and sovereignty. It's a place of authority. The adjective great speaks of a very majestic place in size and rank. The noun white speaks of a very bright and brilliant white. The great white throne apparently takes place at a special location that's not in heaven or on earth. The court features a judge but no jury. And so we saw one sitting on that throne. We learned from Daniel that this one is the Ancient of Days, who actually takes his seat. That divine person is none other than Jesus Christ, and he saw the fact that the earth and heaven had fled away. Isaiah predicts that when Jesus Christ returns to reign in his righteousness, there'll be major changes to the heaven and the earth. Complete liberation, and all creation that groans will no longer groan. And he saw that no place was found for them. He understands this to mean that there will be no place found for those at this judgment in heaven or on earth. That is where one would want to be. When Jesus Christ judges, one would love to be in heaven or to live on the new earth. But That will not be the case for these people. They are about to be sentenced to everlasting fire. And then he saw the dead standing before the throne. Look at verse 12 with me. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to that, to what they had done. So according to Daniel, there are thousands upon thousands, myriad upon myriad standing at this court to be judged. We see that in Daniel 7, verse 10. That conjunction "and" that begins verse 12 indicates that people John is seeing are people who have no place in heaven, no place on earth. In other words, these are unbelievers from all the ages. And he saw books open, which are the works books. These books contain the list of works that bring one to condemnation. Daniel says he saw that the court sat and the books were opened. These books contain the list of all of the sins that a person has ever committed. The basic standard that shows all the sin works is the law of God. Every unsaved person has an account and a record of all the law and sin violations, and unless that person comes to faith in Christ, all of the law violations and sin will be at this great white throne judgment and face the music for their sin. So another book opened, which is the book of life. And the Lamb's book of life is the book that contains all the names of the believers. One gets into this book by believing in Jesus Christ. No one gets into this book of life by their works. So one who believes in Jesus Christ is classified as an overcomer. His name is in the book of life. And then he saw all the dead judged out of the things written in the works books. It's the book of written records. All people, the great white throne judgment, are being judged out of the works books. And then we see in verse 13 something else. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Reference of the sea metaphorically could refer to all unsaved Gentiles. It also may refer to the fact that no matter where the person's dead body was, including in a remote place like the sea, that person will be raised up to face this judgment. We saw death and Hades give up the dead. Unbelievers who die now go to Hades. It's a hellish place of burning fire and torment. Jesus gives a description of that place and says, so hot that one drop of water on the tip of a finger would cool the tongue and relieve some of the agony. But Hades is not the finale for unbelievers. They are heading to the eternal lake of fire. But before they do, they faced Jesus Christ. He saw all of them judged on the basis of their works. Every act contrary to God's word, every word spoken, every thought, every motive, every secret sinful act, every rebellious act, every suppression of God's word, every violation of God's law. And when one gets before Jesus Christ and these workbooks are open, there'll be no defense and mouths will be shut. And then verse 14 says this, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. At this point, death is removed from existence and is thrown into the lake of fire. It's called the second death. When an unbeliever dies, they go to Hades, which is their first sentence of their first death. They'll all be raised up for one final judgment. The fact that they're thrown into this lake of fire indicates that they did not jump in willingly. And then he saw all who were not written in the book of life thrown into the lake of fire. Look at verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown to the lake of fire. The eternal lake of fire. Once one is here, one never gets out. They're there forever. They will burn and burn forever. There's only one way to avoid this lake of fire. There's only one way to avoid the great white throne judgment. Look at the words of Jesus himself. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.